Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rollison, and in addition to this podcast, you can find me on the pages of PiratesBreakdown.com, where we strive to provide quality Pirates analysis and insight. And today we're going to talk about two low-key acquisitions from the Pirates that happened over the past few days. We're going to bring on Sean Doyle from JasonTheCouch.com, one of the leading names in the Blue Jays independent media community, who's going to tell us a little bit about what to expect from Michael Saunders, recently acquired today by the Pittsburgh Pirates to a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training. Saunders, of course, has been in the major leagues for the better part of 9 years, has bounced around a bit from the Mariners to the Blue Jays to the Phillies and back to the Mariners, and he's a left-handed bat who plays all three outfield positions, and we're going to learn from Sean exactly what we can expect from Saunders, who, for better or worse, has a very up-and-down reputation throughout his career. But we're going to start today by talking about Bryce Brents, outfielder acquired from the Red Sox and to the Pirates in exchange for cash considerations. And Brents is a right-handed bat drafted in the 30th round by the Indians in the 2007 amateur draft. And then again, did not sign, of course, and then again drafted this time in the first round by the Boston Red Sox in the 2010 amateur draft. So we can definitely say he made a right decision there. And since breaking into professional baseball, he's developed quite a reputation as a power hitter. If we take just 2017, for example, he played with the Red Sox AAA affiliate, as well as two different Mexican independent leagues. And across all of those leagues and across all the time there, in 605 plate appearances, he smashed 38 home runs and triple slash of 260, 336, and 518 in slugging. He also racked up 24 doubles as well. And again, that's 605 plate appearances across three different minor league seasons. So on the surface, Brents really checks off the one big box that Pirates fans and the Pittsburgh Pirates themselves were probably looking for in these types of signings. And that's a little bit of cheap pop. The Pirates, as you know, were second to last in home runs last year in the major leagues with 151, and that was before they lost Andrew McCutchen's 28 dingers last year to the San Francisco Giants. So anything the Pittsburgh Pirates can do to add a little bit of pop to their lineup is always going to be a welcome addition. Now, if you look at what left field specifically is going to be for the Pirates in 2018, you have Adam Frazier, who has the trust of the coaching staff and the front office, who'll get every chance to be at least a major part of the platoon there. You have Daniel Nava, who the Pirates just signed within the last week and who could do a little bit of nice things. He's a left-handed bat as well, but doesn't have quite the pop that Brents has. And Brents is that right-handed bat, which, you know, listen, if you have pop, you have pop, but the Pirates would surely like a little bit of left-handed pop power in that lineup. So there's a lot of different options here. If I had to handicap the race right now, I really think Brents might make it. He might be the guy to come out of spring training as the second half of that platoon. Nava and Saunders are both low-risk signings, so there's no reason to be beholden to them for any reason. And if you have Frazier and Brents in left field, that's a nice little left-right combo with a little bit of pop with Brents as well, provided he can show something in spring training that gives the front office confidence that he can project his power potential across, you know, a healthy number of at-bats in the major leagues. So before we talk to Sean Doyle from JasonTheCouch.com about Michael Saunders, I'd like to take a moment to remind everyone listening that if you're a business or know someone who has a business or know a decision maker at a business, we are accepting advertisers for this very podcast. Locked On Pirates is really growing at a pretty good rate, especially for four episodes in. We're very happy with our progress. And the entire Locked On podcast network as a whole is growing very rapidly. Just to give you a little bit of history, Locked On was founded by Utah Jazz broadcaster David Locke and is quickly grown to take over the podcasting space and daily podcasts for NBA and NFL. And this season, we're really putting a focus on Major League Baseball as well. So your business can get a lot of different opportunities to get a lot of good ROI back. So if you're interested, you know, please give me a shout. You can get me at Twitter at Locked On Pirates or email lockedonpirates@gmail.com, and we'll get you in touch with the right people to talk advertising. Okay, so without further ado, here's Sean from Jason the Couch. All right, so to give us a good perspective on what we can expect from Saunders, I thought it would be prudent to bring in my friend Sean Doyle, who runs JasonTheCouch.com, one of the leading voices in Blue Jays independent media. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and it seems like every time there's a some type of interaction between the Pirates of old or, you know, current Pirates going over to the Blue Jays. We seem to get together and talk about it. So now the shoe's a little bit.
There's been more and more of it over the last couple of years. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I know the two front offices are pretty tight, but this is ridiculous. But
yeah,
this one's a little unique because the Pirates are signing a former Blue Jay. Even though he played in 12 games with you guys last year after coming back from the Phillies, you could kind of say he's a year removed from Toronto. But regardless, we'll say former Blue Jay. Michael Saunders is now with the Pirates on a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training. And as I was just got done telling our listeners that, you know, this guy is kind of up and down for his career. You never know quite what you're going to get with him. So any light you can shed on this for us? What exactly can the Pirates fans expect to be getting with Michael Saunders?
Well, the first thing you need to know is that after probably a disappointing offseason for Pirates fans, this is not going to be what saves your season. Michael Saunders is, at this point, a minor league deal is pretty much what you can expect. And, you know, you can file it under the category of no such thing as a bad minor league deal because he does have upside. We can't deny that. But at 31 years of age, it's hard to say whether or not that upside is attainable much longer. So, you know, you could look at it and say you got a former All-Star in 2016 on a minor league deal, but that is kind of putting lipstick on a pig, I think.
Yeah, it's weird because I look at the totality of Saunders' career and before 2017, and we do see that 2016 All-Star season. But we also see what I would consider to be something of a normal season for him back in 2012 and 2013, which, you know, in baseball terms, or can practically be years ago at this point. You know, perhaps magnified more than it actually is. But he put up three consecutive 1.5 F4 seasons or greater. So we know what he is. We know he's going to be an average player. You know, perhaps a starter level player. But what? And I didn't follow him very closely last year. What did you see, if anything, that caused him just to drop off a cliff with the Phillies last year?
Okay, so you have to understand that it wasn't just last year. And let me break down Michael Saunders for you here a little bit.
Please.
Came over to Toronto, 2015 spring training, tore his meniscus on a sprinkler head in Dunedin. And, you know, the guy, he battled to get back. To the point where he removed, I want to say 60% of his meniscus just to get back quicker. So, you know, I mean, his dedication, you can't question that. But 2015 was a write-off for him. And then 2016, you look at his first half, and yes, he was an All-Star, but you really have to break this down into first half and second half. And if you look at the splits, okay, so 2016 All-Star performance, but that doesn't tell you the whole story. In the first half, he 298 on base percentage of 372. So the guy's putting up a 923 OPS, 16 home runs, 25 doubles in just 82 games, right? He's lighting the world on fire. He gets voted in Captain Canada, people were calling him and all this stuff. You know, good old Canadian boy doing really well. And then the second half happened, and he had just about as miserable a second half as you can have, hitting just .178. With an OPS of 638. And that's, I guess, what you could say is around the time where Michael Saunders, as you said, kind of fell off a cliff a little bit. He wasn't able to get it back last year. And what you're going to get out of Michael Saunders is a guy who will strike out a frustratingly high number of times. If you want to see Michael Saunders play, you have to accept that you're going to see strikeouts for his career. He's at 26% strikeout rate. It was as high as 28 in his All-Star season in 2016. You know, and defensively as well. Yeah, he could play probably suited for left field, but even then it's kind of, you know, sketchy. So whatever he has left in the tank is worth it on a minor league deal. But I guess the question is, I don't know that we know how much there is left. And love the guy. Again, as I said, great Canadian boy. But, you know, at this point, as far as baseball goes, I don't know how much Michael Saunders is going to give the Pittsburgh Pirates organization.
Yeah, none of what you just said is inaccurate because I'm looking at his stat lines on FanGraphs and He almost reminds me of kind of like a light version of a three true outcome player. He'll hit the home runs. He had 24. Like you said, he had 20.1 strikeout percent. But he also had a 10.6 walk rate as recently as 2016 and a 13.9 the year before. Granted, that was just in 36 plate appearances. But for career, just under 9.5% walk rate. So I'm wondering, is he the kind of player that has to be a free swinger in order to get production out of him? Because even in those high strikeout rate days, he would still put up, you know, above average run creation. So is it something that you can find yourself living with at the end of the day with Saunders?
In all honesty, for me personally, I would say no. But that's, you know, if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're looking for banking on catching lightning in a bottle, sure. But I mean, if you look at what I'm just before I started talking to you, I wanted to go on and look at, you know, how he did against certain pitches, because sometimes with high strikeout guys, you know, it's the curveball down and away or whatever it is. And for a left-handed batter, and so you're looking at it, Michael Saunders is a lefty, and I can't, and I'm as well, like you, I'm on the Fangraphs, his Fangraphs page. And in all honesty, his numbers are pretty terrible right across the board, but it's the splitter that he has had the most trouble with, which is, you know, I guess it makes sense. But if you're looking for contact, just 75% for his career, swinging strike rate of about 11 for his career. He's going to swing. And one thing that goes along with too is I remember watching in 2016, especially in that second half. And I don't think Jason and I could understate just how bad that second half was. You could look at numbers and it doesn't tell the whole story, just how painful it was to watch. But I remember thinking, yeah, he swings and misses, but he's also taking a lot of strikes as well. And just, I remember him walking back to the dugout having not lifted the bat off his shoulder on that third strike. So there's a lot of frustration, I guess, in watching Michael Saunders, because you know that potential has been there, as you said, the home run power and the run production and all of that stuff. But the total package of him as a hitter, it's still frustrating. And that's unfortunate, right? Because you always want to, you know, cheer for, especially, you know, Blue Jays fans, is him being Canadian. You want to cheer for him, but he's made it awfully tough over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, something you just said resonated with me. I went back and looked, and in that 2016 All-Star season, just on fastballs alone, he struck out 25.1% of the time on four-seam fastballs at that. So if I look at it from a Pirates perspective, here's a left-handed bat, which is something they always have needed over the past few years, who has a little bit of pop potential. But if you bring him in as a part-time player, a platoon player, a pinch hitter, if he can't hunt a fastball, you know, with regularity, I mean, what really would you want him for? I mean, that's kind of the definition of a pinch hitter for me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that if you're looking for somebody on a minor league deal and hoping to get something out of him, but if he can't hit a fastball, then it's kind of a, I guess you're even throwing more coins in that wishing well, I guess, because I just don't see it. And, you know, there's a reason that Toronto kind of, you know, shied away from him over the last little while, because they just don't see it either. And, you know, the Blue Jays are a lot like the Pirates in that they're looking for those minor league value type deals, complementary pieces as well. So it's tough, man. It's tough, especially if you can't hit a fastball. If you watch it go by, then you're in serious trouble in if you're looking for a major league job.
Okay, well, so Pirates fans are probably, you know, because we're, as you can imagine, they are starved for any kind of transaction that shows a little bit of a promise. And, you know, the eyes go to the home runs, but the overall picture that you're painting is not one that people should get really optimistic about. But you had mentioned defensively he's also not great.
Yeah. No.
Now, in left field is probably where he'd be slated for, and I see that he's a plus two in defensive runs for his career, defensive runs saved for his career overall. But in his most recent work, how would you grade his work in left field specifically? I mean, is it just a total show, or is it just like bad routes? What is it?
So if you look at 2016, where he had 884 innings, he put up minus six defensive runs saved, right? And then if you continue on the different positions, he's not a center fielder anymore. They've tried it. He hasn't been, I guess, what you would call acceptable at it since 2011. But even in right field, the defensive runs saved have gone down. So overall for his career, the positive two defensive runs saved might seem attractive, but that's buoyed by early somewhat value. And even though it's positive two, that's adding up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons of just one defensive run saved. I'd love to put, I feel so bad actually, because if I go back and listen to this, Jason, it's gonna sound really, really bad for Michael Saunders and for your listeners too, because I know you guys, man, you guys need some kind of positivity this winter. But I don't think Michael Saunders brings it. The recent trends, I guess, for everything across the board, offensively and defensively, are not pointing to something that you guys should get excited about.
All right, fair enough. So we'll get you out of here with one last question about Saunders, and that is, mm-hmm. with taking into account everything you've just said on the totality mm-hmm. of it, is there anything that in his game specifically that you can see that would help him benefit in a part-time role? Perhaps he'll be less exposed, playing semi every day or somewhat like that. So is there anything about him being in a part-time role that might actually help him?
Yeah, man. So over in Toronto, we've had years where manager John Gibbons has had guys he likes to bring in certain situations. And so if you look at Michael Saunders, and that's kind of the frame of reference I'm coming from, and I would say that Michael Saunders certainly could be a lefty part of a platoon. Maybe a late inning, if you're looking for a big hit, you're hoping for it. But you also have to balance that with expecting the strikeout, so hope for the best, but expect, very, very little, or I guess productive at bats, I think is the way to look at it. So, you know what, there might be something there. There may be lots of use for him, and I really hope for his sake that there is. But realistically speaking, you hope for the best, but expect kind of mediocre, I think, is at this point in his career. And again, I promise you, I hope he proves me wrong.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that with Saunders, but I want to take a moment and tell you a little bit about Sean. He does great work at jasonfromthecouch.com, and they actually just announced a very intriguing project, one that kind of inspired me to do a similar thing. So, Sean, why don't you tell them what you have coming down the pike?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. We're at jasonfromthecouch.com. We've got our writers together and put our heads together, and we finally bit the bullet and decided that we were going to write a book. And we've decided this was the year to do it. So we're writing the Jays from the Couch Guide to the 2018 Toronto Blue Jays, full of interviews. We're not talking about just kind of, interviews for the sake of saying we have interviews. These are really top of the line, solid interviews. Lots of analysis, player profiles, essays, you name it, it's in there, and it's everything a Toronto Blue Jays fan needs. So we're really excited about that. It'll hit Amazon on March 1st, so we're counting down the days here. And of course, if you're interested, you can follow us on Twitter at Jays from Couch, where you can get little snippets and previews and stuff like that to kind of whet your appetite for the big March 1st date.
All right, well, that all sounds great. So, Pirates North fans, please feel free to check in on that. And, hey, Sean, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate you taking some time.
Absolutely. Anytime. And like I said, I really hope Michael Saunders proves me wrong.
Okay, we'll revisit this in 6 months when he doesn't, and we'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason.
All right, so that's going to do it for today's Locked On Pirates. I'm glad you joined us. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far over these first couple of episodes. So you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. Find me on Twitter at Rollison Writes or at PBC Breakdown. And I encourage you to shoot us a line at lockedonpirates@gmail.com. Tweet us, and of course, the best thing you can do to help our show out is to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review if you're not too busy. It will really help us grow. So we'll see you next time on Locked On Pirates. This is Jason. Thanks for listening.